God, we thank you that you're not a God who is unfaithful, who abandons us, who forgets us. But you are a faithful God. You are the faithful God. And so we gather knowing that when you make a promise to us, you stand by it and it will be fulfilled. We stand on your promises this morning, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Our reading today is taken from Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 to 25. A call to persevere in faith. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is, his body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from the guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he has promised all who is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. This is the word of the Lord.
Words that to me encourage what we should be doing when we meet together on a Sunday. And we'll explore some of those now. But first, when I was thinking about this idea of being together, we grow and encouraging and things like that, I was put in mind of something called Pedal the Pennines, which we do at work. I don't know if any of you have ever come across Pedal the Pennines. It's happened for the last few years, and it's a charity fundraising thing. What they do, we've got a gym at work, and they go over to the gym and borrow one of the exercise bikes. They bring it back to the office, and then everybody signs up. And over a period of 2 days, all the people who've signed up and sponsored to do it go as far as they can go. And the idea is, after 2 days, have we managed to pedal the length of the Pennines? And it's not just us does it. There's other bits of BT do it, and there's other companies do it, and there's an online sort of leaderboard, and you see who's getting the furthest. We never get anywhere near winning, but we do it. And when someone from your team, our teams at work, when someone from your team is doing their bit, we will go and encourage them. We'll stand around the bike and we'll try and spur them on and give them a real keep going. You can do it. You can get that little bit further. It's only 15 minutes, but if you've ever done 15 minutes hard riding on an exercise bike, it's not easy. To be fair, there's a little bit of friendly competition goes on. There's a guy in my team, he's about 15 years younger than me, and for the last 2 years, I've beaten him by about the length of the aisle. And he is very unimpressed by this, But we stand around, and I encourage him, and he thinks that I'm trying to slow him down, but so that I can beat him. But every year, we do that, and it's good fun. But we encourage people. That's what happens in a lot of sporting arenas, isn't it? You spur your team on. You encourage them. You shout for them. And when we meet together, often on a Sunday morning, we need to help one another hold on to that faith that we've got. Together we grow is the theme, so that's what we're going to be thinking about. In the reading from Hebrews that we heard, there are three different ways that I want to explore that we can do that. The first of them is about holding on to the hope that we've got together. Because when you're amongst people who all are thinking the same, believing the same, having faith the same, then you can encourage people because you are together and hold on to that hope. What is that hope? Can you remember what I said in week one? Those of you who were here. It's a look of panic on Gail's face. Obviously not. I gave away of thinking about our unique story about the world. That's what we come together because we believe a very simple, unique story about the world. There's four things. God created it. It's broken because of sin. Jesus' death makes new life possible. And Jesus is coming back and it's all going to be transformed. That's the story. In a nutshell, that's the story of the Bible. Those four things. And that's the hope that we come together, the story we come together to try and encourage each other to keep going with. There are many things that can tempt us to give up, many things that can tempt us to walk away, or maybe even just pause in our walk. I don't know if any of you were listening to BBC Radio Suffolk this morning, but there was an announcement of at least one church that's not going to meet this morning and isn't going to meet this afternoon because it's windy. That didn't sit right with me. I guess I was put back in mind, well, Julie and I were talking about, I was put back in mind of a time a number of years ago when I think Jennifer was due to be leading the evening meeting and it snowed and Jennifer couldn't get out and we had a quick panic phone call and I walked up here to make sure that we provided that opportunity for people to meet and to worship God, because that's what we do. So, yeah, there can be things that pull us away. From the reading, there are three particular things, another three ways that the writer encourages us to do that, to be supporting each other. The first is that the way is open to God. There's nothing blocking us. I don't know if you know the Easter story, but there's my favourite bit in the story of Easter, the time when after Jesus had died and as he was rising again on that Sunday. No, this is 5 o'clock on the Friday. What am I talking about? On the Friday, when Jesus died, to pay the price for all of our sin, an amazing thing happened in the temple. There was a curtain in the temple. You see, the way the temple was laid out, there was various different spaces and areas, and depending who you were, depended where you were allowed to be. There was a far outer court where pretty much anyone could go, but as you came closer in, fewer and fewer people, until you get to the most holy place at the very front of the temple. Only one priest could go there, the high priest, and only once per year. And there was a curtain that separated that off. It's called the most holy place, or sometimes known as the Holy of Holies. The place where the Ark of the Covenant was kept, where the presence of God was in the temple. And as Jesus died, that curtain that was the whole size of the front of the temple was torn in two, not by human hands, but torn from top to bottom, from heaven to earth. The curtain was broken, and the way was clear for people, anyone, to see and to approach and to go into the most holy place, right into the presence of God. For me, that is probably one of the most striking bits of the whole Easter story, that the way is open, the curtain was torn in two, and the way is open. Direct access to God is not limited to one priest once a year. Direct access to God is there for us anytime, whoever we are. An amazing privilege. An amazing privilege. And we should take advantage of that. We should use that privilege. God didn't do that so that we could say, well, that's very nice, and walk away. He did that so we could approach him and speak to him. If you don't know about that, I'd love to tell you more about that at the end. The second thing the writer to the Hebrews talks about in terms of hanging on to hope together is kind of related. It's in verse 21. I always read from multiple versions of the Bible when I'm preparing. This is from the Contemporary English Version. It says this: "We have a great high priest who is in charge of God's house. So let's come near God with pure hearts and a confidence that comes from having faith." That great high priest is talking about is Jesus. We focus on him. As we focus on him, we have confidence in our faith. If I go back to my picture of the temple and the curtain, the high priest, the only one who could go in. Jesus isn't a high priest who says, "I'm the one going in." Jesus is the high priest that says, "Look, the curtain, the way is open. Please, go through." He's with us, and he is God. And he stands back and allows us direct access to him, to God the Father, to God the Holy Spirit. As we focus on him, we discover something of who we are as a result of what he's done for us. He died for us so that our sins could be forgiven and make that way open. And we learn so much about ourselves through that. The third thing just carries on from that bit I just read, is about experiencing peace. Sometimes things weigh heavy on our shoulders or on our hearts. Things we've done wrong. We've already said sorry to God this morning corporately. We're called to constantly say sorry to him. He's made the way possible for us to be forgiven. We simply have to ask for that forgiveness. And as we do that, God constantly renews and refreshes us. This is what it says in verse 22. Having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Something about baptism, isn't there, there? Something about being washed, about what Jesus has done, washing us free, washing us clean, and we don't have to have a guilty conscience anymore because he forgives us. And I guess we can know and rediscover the wonder of that forgiveness every day as we come before God and say sorry. And he gives peace into our hearts. So those were the three things about holding on to hope together. The second thing the writer to the Hebrews talks about was mentioned in the verse at the end of the video, in fact. Spur one another on to good works. Verse 24, and let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Spur is a strong word, isn't it? I think of spurs as in what a rider of a horse might wear. To some extent, can inflict pain. It's an odd word, maybe, to associate with love and good works, but it is a powerful word and a strong word, and something about importance. Interestingly, Julie reminded me earlier, hopefully I'm not going to steal her thunder, that spurs is also related to the way that pollination happens between plants, that the piece that leaves the plant is the spur that goes to another plant and causes that to grow. So spur is an interesting and important word, especially if we're going to live out our faith on our front line. If you ever found yourself, you're in a situation, you're doing good, you're doing stuff, and do you get weary of doing it? If the world sometimes seems against you, people aren't engaging with it, maybe people even ungrateful. Maybe some people sometimes find they're being manipulated. It can be easy to give up if you're on your own. But when you're together, how much easier is it to encourage each other to carry on into good works, to not give up, to not allow people to give up. To say, no, I'll stand beside you. It's not as bad as you think. Maybe you share stories of when you had something similar and encourage people that way. Keep the challenge in front of you. The third thing, and the last thing that it says in that reading from Hebrews, is keep meeting together. Keep meeting together. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Remember my fourth point of the story? Jesus is coming back and all will be transformed. The day approaching, that's what that is. Keep meeting together is really important. Over these 5 weeks, we've done lots to talk about. If you remember week one in the video with the dots, if you were here, and the dots scattered, and we've talked about being scattered and being out on a front line talking to people naturally about faith, living faith. We've focused a lot on whoever you are, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, that is possible. We've looked out. But please don't lose sight of how important it is that we meet together as well. Remember, the dots come back together and then scatter and gather and scatter. And it's when we're gathered that we remember God's given us this amazing community of his body, the church. And in this place, he's given us this place, this community, these people, to help us grow, to help us stay faithful to him, to pick us up when we need it, to encourage us to keep moving. If the church is to be the community that affirms the significance of where we are from Monday to Saturday, then meeting together is vital. Let me just read that again. If the church is to be the community that affirms the significance of where we are from Monday to Saturday, then meeting together is vital. The gathered worship life of the church is where we teach, where we guide, where we encourage, where we equip, where we love, where we commission each other to go out onto our front lines. That's why it's so important that we don't lose sight of meeting together. So let me leave you with a couple of questions just to hold in your mind. How do you already help other people here to keep going on their front lines? I know people do. How do you do that? What else might you be able to do to help others? And what are the things that help you when we meet together to be encouraged yourself for when you separate to your front line? Sometimes it's worth sharing those with people because then they can encourage you even more.